Hey everyone!
Hola a todos!
This is Shahaira.
And this is Stephanie, and welcome back to Cuento Crimen Podcast.
Another beautiful Wednesday. We hope you're all having a wonderful day. Ya está saliendo el sol, so it feels nice, you know, from the rain and all that stuff that we had. Mm-hmm. We do want to say a big thank you to everyone who has been reaching out. Y'all all are very kind. And thanks to everyone who keeps requesting cases. Like, seriously, that keeps the list going. Like, a lot of these last few episodes have been requests. So it's really cool. And like, I think that's kind of what we wanted to use our platform for, like, to bring these stories. And y'all are great at sharing stories that we didn't know about. And so just a quick reminder, well, two reminders of that. One, we are always asking for reviews. Mm-hmm. It's what helps the podcast grow. And just, you know, so like just feedback is really good to read sometimes as well. And then another reminder is if one Wednesday isn't enough for you, we do have YouTube segments over on our channel, which is just Cuento Crimen Podcast on YouTube. And there we do How I Almost Got Kidnapped stories. Mm-hmm. So if you've joined us, wonderful. We hope you're enjoying it. And if you haven't, maybe you should check us out.
Yeah, go check us out. We are on video, so it's a bit different.
Yeah.
And different than the episodes we cover on here. So it's definitely like an extra segment. So please check us out. Okay, so today we will be talking about the case of Aida Curi, and she was an 18-year-old who was murdered on July 14th, 1958 in Rio Janeiro, Brazil. And this happened right after Brazil won the World Cup in 1958.
And just a quick disclaimer, we faced a language barrier and had to translate some articles since, you know, this is an international case. And it was difficult because we don't recognize sources, and also there are some details that were inconsistent. So it was just kind of hard to know like which sources, I guess, were more trustworthy or mm-hmm. more accurate. So yes, just bear with us. In cases like this, we try to always include the different versions of the details. Just, you know, like, okay, we read this, but we also read this. And to be honest, we just aren't sure which one is, you know, the right detail or the right fact. So just a quick disclaimer.
As usual, we will talk about sensitive topics. Queremos darles una advertencia porque vamos a hablar de temas sensibles.
And again, queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y víctimas. Now, let's jump in.
Aida Curi was born in 1939 in Brazil to immigrants from Syria, and her parents were really involved and part of the Melkite Catholic Church.
And it was a big family. Aida was actually the third of five children. She had four brothers with the name of Nelson, Roberto, Mauricio, and Waldir.
And a little bit more on her backstory, Aida lost her father at the age of five. Entonces, this meant a lot of things for the family. Obviously, the whole family dynamic really changed. Su mama had to pretty much become the single parent, the head of the house. And so after that, the family moved to Rio de Janeiro to work. And they were in this area for 8 years.
At the age of six, Aida was sent off to a school of Spanish nuns. And this was actually a boarding school. Ella estuvo allí por 12 años. Y después de allí, ella tomó cursos in typing, English, and Portuguese, and was also working in her brother's shop.
And so that's all the background information we were able to gather. And so this story takes a turn, like all the other true crime cases that we've covered here. And so this is how it goes. A woman's body was discovered on the ground next to a building. And just from looking at it, some could think that maybe the person on the floor jumped off the building. Pero cuando llegaron los investigadores y empezaron a ver, you know, what was around and, you know, what could have led to this, they started to question things, and they also started to talk to possible witnesses.
They ended up identifying the woman as Aida Curi and began to track down what happened. So, la historia va que el 14 de julio del 1958, Aida iba caminando con su amiga after her typing class at the Remington School. And this was like around 9 p.m. when suddenly they were approached by three men, which were Ronaldo Guillerme de Sauso Castro, de 19 años, Casio Murillo Ferreira da Silva, de 16, and a doorman, Antonio Joa de Sosa, 27. And also just like a quick disclaimer, like some of these names are really hard to pronounce since it is in a different language. So we are so sorry if we are butchering your name.
Yeah, we're trying.
Like my name is spelled very weirdly, Jahaira, and I feel like it always gets butchered, and I'm so sorry. Like I hate doing it to people too.
Yeah. And so, okay, we're going to talk about these three men and we'll get into a little bit about their background. So to start off, Ronaldo Castro, he comes from a traditional family, and it seems like from what we read, he kind of like had a reputation for himself in the area por las cosas que él hacía. So era una persona que no tenía buenos grados, he had been expelled from schools, and also accused of assaults.
And in a particular crime, he actually ended up stealing jewels and money from a boarding house. And when this crime was discovered, Ronaldo's father actually ended up paying officials and made this incident disappear.
Yeah, I think this also will come back in the end because it seems like como que Ronaldo tiene a su papá que lo va a sacar de sus problemas, that maybe the dad is well off and can just pay off his incidents and make it all go away.
I mean, if you can pay off officials, then like to me, you're rich because you have a lot of money, you know, to make like a whole crime disappear. Y también su prima, Maritza Enaider Castro, had some things to say. Ella dice que en una ocasión su primo Ronaldo la trató de vender and that they would split half the money. Which is crazy. Like, it's if crazy. My guy cousin came up to me saying, hey, man, can I sell you for, like, X amount of money and, like, you get half and I get half? Like,
no.
No, thank you. Yeah, why like, would I do
yeah,
that?
No.
Mejor te vendemos a ti and then you can give me half, you know?
There's, like, that doesn't make sense. Like, what do you mean half?
And it's just, like, I don't know. Like, the way that, like, we were reading and it was presented was just so casual. Like, hey, let me just sell you.
Yeah, and I'll get half.
And I'll give you half.
No. That's just wrong. Yeah. And also, like, this is family. You're doing this to your cousin. You're proposing this to your cousin. That's crazy. And I just feel like that just goes to show what kind of person Ronaldo is.
Yeah. And Maritza was also, you know, sharing more information. Ella dice que el papá de Ronaldo le cubría todos sus meses. So, like, anything that he did, anything law-related, anything illegal, anything, dad would come to the rescue.
Yeah. And so now moving along to the second guy, Casio Murillo, de 16 años, he was actually the nephew of the owner of the building, the one in question, the one where they found the body. And so this is really important detail to note. And then we also read that he also had a reputation for himself. He had been expelled for bad behavior and also for lifting a girl's skirt.
And he's young too, 17.
Yeah, young, yeah. And also, he was caught for breaking into a place to steal a scooter.
And then we have the third guy, Antonio Sosa, who was a doorman of the building. And that is really all that it is said about him and his background and his personal life. So we'll keep it at that.
Okay, so now going back to kind of like what happened that day. Ese día, Aida y su amiga, you know, were walking when they were approached. But la manera and how they were approached is a bit unclear, so we're going to include all the possible ways as to how it may have happened. So it seems como que Ronaldo was the one who approached them, and then the other two men later come into the scene. And the other two men are the ones we just described, the one who is associated with the building, which is a nephew, and the doorman of the building.
So it is said that Ronaldo was the one to approach the two young ladies, like Stephanie was saying. But again, we don't know if this was like in a friendly manner or more in an aggressive way. Like, we aren't too sure. We just know that he was the one who started the interaction.
Okay, so kind of what may have happened is somehow the men or Ronaldo took Aida's things, and she then goes and tries to get her stuff back that they took. And we read that it was her glasses, her purse, y también su dinero que necesitaba para, you know, llegar a casa, like for transportation.
It was kind of like their way to like lure her in, right? Mm-hmm. Or number two, which is the second scenario, is that Ronaldo, who said something along the lines of, hey, you dropped your keys, but they weren't hers or her friends. And then, you know, the conversation sparked up between them. And then during the conversation, he ended up grabbing her glasses and, you know, the belongings from Aida. And then it is believed that the girls tried to leave, but he kind of just keeps the conversation going any way that he can and just kind of stalls them.
And here it's also what role the friend played. Like, did the friend have to go, or was it more Aida, the one that was like, you know, the one to initiate to kind of like go their separate ways because she wanted to go get her things back?
And there's a third possibility. They believe that maybe Ronaldo convinced her to go look at the view from an apartment, or like maybe a possibility that he offered English lessons. I don't know. But I think like all possibilities kind of end up with like one way or another, they came across each other and Ronaldo definitely had a way to lure her in.
Yeah. And I'm also thinking right now, after like we've done the research, maybe it was all of these things and it was just the guy, Ronaldo, or the guys just trying super hard to get them to go to that building, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe like taking her stuff wasn't enough. Okay, offering to look at the view wasn't enough. Like, okay, let me try English lessons, you know?
Yeah. But just like one way or another, bring her in.
Exactly. But we're not too sure how it happened, but it just seems que Ronaldo was on a mission and that interaction had something to do con sus cosas and, you know, she wanting to get them back. So overall, it seems like this was either Ronaldo's and the guy's tactic in order to get her alone to attack her.
And so what ends up happening is that they all end up walking into Edificio Rio Nobre, where the two other men were there waiting. But also some sources say that the other two men were part of the conversation interactions with the ladies. So like, we don't know si ellos ya estaban ahí también tratando de ayudar a Ronaldo to bring her in, or if they were already inside waiting.
At the building, Aida was being pulled into the elevator y ella estaba gritando. She was asking for help. And it is believed that they took her to the 12th floor in an apartment that was not fully constructed or finished yet. Other sources dice que she went upstairs, but she wasn't screaming. And if it was that way, maybe that version aligns to her agreeing to go see the view or saying yes to English classes. So again, it's a bit unclear if she was yelling out for help, kind of maybe in the lobby area, elevator area.
And I feel like that's the hard part, right? Like, if there's no witnesses, and then if, like, you know, the men aren't speaking up, then it's like, well, how do we really know? Mm-hmm. So here is, like, where we do know that the other two men played a role. So Casio, who was the 16, 17-year-old and the nephew of the owner of the building, had access to the building and possibly anywhere within the building. And then you, again, had the doorman to the building, which was Antonio.
Yeah, so it's like two people that know the building really well
and have access to anything and anywhere.
Yeah. And as I kind of said earlier, we did say that the apartment was still unfinished, but we only read that in one article. So we're not sure if the apartment was actually under construction or if it was just more of a vacant apartment.
And so, you know, once they let her in and once she's inside this building, it's like, ahora qué pasa? So for 30 minutes, she was beaten with the intentions of these men raping her. But she fought so much and so hard that she eventually ended up fainting from the physical exhaustion that she was feeling. That's how hard she was fighting for her life.
30 minutes of three men coming at you. I can't wrap my head around that. Like, how does, out of the three men, how doesn't one person stop it?
Yeah.
You know?
Or, I mean, at this point, she has to be screaming for her life. She has to be, you know, asking people for help. So I wonder, like, did anyone hear her?
Neighbors, you know?
Yeah. And so to continue, these men proceeded to throw her from the terrace and down the building to try to play it off as suicide. So después que la golpearon, ¿verdad? Por casi media hora, la avientan from the terrace.
And so that is when, you know, people discovered a body on the floor and, you know, investigators came to the scene and they took in the body and they did an autopsy. And so what that reveals is that there was no sexual abuse. Her body had abrasions, bruises, and scratches in todo su cuerpo. She had internal rupture of her upper lip because of a punch and strangulation attempts. And they were able to determine that, you know, all of this happened in 30 minutos.
And so now moving on to the trial. Witnesses put Ronaldo at the scene, but he claimed that he was not there and that he went out to meet a girl como a las 8:20 de la noche. And coincidentally, this would be during the time of Aida's death.
Mm-hmm. The defense said that Aida was the one who jumped off the building to escape the attack de los tres hombres, but evidence pointed towards that she was murdered and then thrown.
I always think it's like super interesting how they like are able to pick out these details and be like, well, actually, mm-hmm. because of science, I know that that's not true.
Yeah.
Like it blows my mind. It's really fascinating to mm-hmm. see how much technology and how much like investigations have yes, changed over yes. time.
Like they can say this happened and this happened.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, you know, they have that detail and like they know that, you know, she died before being thrown over the terrace. And so now they're looking back at the crime scene. Y ellos, you know, creen porque se ve como si it was staged because like her books were all placed strategically. Like it was like perfectly placed and they were placed right next to her body. But how is that like, I don't know, possible?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're falling, everything's kind of just, it's yeah. going to kind of just like, como se dice, like caer al aire libre.
Uh-huh.
But in this case, everything was like placed around her.
Yeah, that's a really good point that you're saying. For me, I was thinking like, why would she even throw her book bag if she has a bag? You know what I mean? Like,
true.
Wouldn't yeah. you just set it down? And you know what I mean? It just didn't make sense that her books were even on the floor to me.
Okay, that's just a you good know? Point. And also like, si fue atacada por 30 minutos, I'm pretty sure her book bag was still not, like it wasn't on her shoulder.
Yeah,
it was probably
exactly.
on the floor somewhere uh-huh. where she was being attacked. And yeah, you're right. She's not going to take the time
yeah.
to grab the books.
That's and, the last thing on her mind.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I agree. It's kind of odd. And during the investigation, the guys were, you know, interviewed and Ronaldo did confess that he ripped off Aida's skirt and her underwear.
And Ronaldo's defense had a very interesting tactic. Or, you know, in this case, his defense was his father. The father that we mentioned in the beginning of the episode, like, that would always come, y siempre sacaba a su hijo de los líos que los que se metía, and you know how he would always bail his son out. So this is no different. He brought in a witness who stated that they saw Ronaldo with a girl that he had mentioned earlier, you know how he said that he went out on a date, and yeah, that they did in fact meet around 8:20 p.m. So they bought this witness lady to say that she saw them together, like Ronaldo and his date.
Mm-hmm. Hay mucha discusión en las redes de, you know, why did they bring this witness lady, like this stranger? Because I guess what people question is, ¿por qué no llevaron the girl, the date
the
herself?
The actual person,
you know?
Yeah.
La muchacha that was with Ronaldo, rather than a witness that saw them. Y se dice que it turns out that she just never showed up to trial and they had to figure out a different, well, you know, it is speculated that they had to figure out or find another witness.
But see, here's the thing. The witness story did not match up. This lady witness and Ronaldo had different versions of that day. So, la señora dice que ella los miró, pero ella incluye detalles diferentes que no son iguales a los que dijo Ronaldo. And I think she said something else, and Ronaldo said he saw this lady walk by the beach. And again, that just did not come up in the lady's story.
Mm-hmm. Y también esto está muy interesante. La señora dice que la muchacha had blonde hair, but she was actually a brunette. Y también la señora dice que la muchacha estaba cantando una canción, but the song wasn't released until after the murder.
Oh, that, yeah, mm-hmm. that is very, very strange. And also just like crazy to me, like, si vas a comprar a un testigo, like, aren't you guys going to want to get together and like prep the story and get your details right?
Yeah, you would think, right?
Yeah. Common sense.
But now, you know, moving on to the sentencing, Ronaldo Castro was sentenced to 37 years and a half in prison, 25 years for the death of Aida, and the remaining years for assault and attempted rape.
And the doorman Antonio was sentenced to 30 years, and Casio cannot be tried because he was a minor at the time, which sucks because his age did not stop him from participating.
Exactly. In March 1958, the defense appealed and got Ronaldo a second trial. And during this, they focused a lot on the bite marks that Aida had. And so that's what they wanted to focus on and test the bite marks.
And so then what they wanted to do is they wanted to test the men to see who these bite marks belonged to. Pero nomás pudieron hacer la prueba a uno. Casio, el que era el menor, was tested y resultó que él no era el responsable for the bite marks. And so up next, le tocaba a Ronaldo y Antonio, pero el juez dijo que no, and he put a stop to the testing. And his reasoning for stopping the testing was because Ronaldo allegedly left the building at 8:15 p.m. So like the whole bite mark situation was not of interest. And because evidence shows that Ronaldo only slapped her and nothing else, according to the autopsy findings.
And so all of this led to Ronaldo being acquitted of the murder charge.
Jury said only one person was responsible for the crime, and it was Casio. But because he was a minor, he could not be charged. Which, I don't know how I feel about that. Like, you have three men, and then you go for... I don't know, but it seems like there was, like, hardly any evidence against Casio. So it's like how is his more heavier than Ronaldo's? You know what I mean? So it just feels like they went after him because they knew he couldn't be charged type of thing. So because of that, that meant that Ronaldo and Antonio were acquitted of murder charges. Casio the minor was sent to the minor assistance system, which is SAM. And when he was done with that, he went to do military service.
And a little bit more on Casio, just a few years after that, he was accused of another murder, and it is believed that he fled abroad until the murdered expired. So something kind of like the statute of limitations. And then we read that later he was murdered in 1978 in an accident.
And so eventually there was a third trial, but it was not super publicized. And in this one, Ronaldo was tried for simple murder and attempted rape and sentenced to 6 years. And a prosecutor managed to increase it to 8 years and 9 months. The doorman, Antonio, did not participate in this trial.
Ronaldo served his sentence and later became a businessman. And we couldn't find any more information on Antonio and what he did with his life. So yeah, that is all that we have for this week's episode. This was an international case, so some of the... names were hard for us to pronounce. So thank you so much for your understanding. We tried. But yeah, let us know what you think, and we'll see y'all next week.
What's up, guys? This is the Unnoticed Podcast
with your host, George,
and your host, Ricardo, where we get straight into pop culture, true crime, conspiracies, and scary stories,
making you feel like you're right in the room with your homies.
And you can find the Unnoticed Podcast on all platforms.
And with that being said,
welcome back to the spot. Don't make it hot.
We love you,
even if you love us or not. Clown Boys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.